step on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Oh, yeah!
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes in midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, that is the cue. That is the cue, absolutely. And you know what I love is the fans start clapping and Kerry starts clapping as well. It's, sort of, it's back and forth. You know, it's reciprocal here. You know, you're feeling the love on both ends of the Big Red Rage here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all brought to you by Santan Ford. It sort of reminds me of the Jets fans there, Kerry, right off the bat, because after two interceptions, I could hear them right behind the Cardinals bench on the sideline. All the Jets fans are yelling, Kerry, we miss you. We love you. Yeah. We want you back.
Yep.
You heard all those fans, didn't you?
Yeah. It was funny.
Funny the way that works, huh, Kerry?
Funny how that works.
Suddenly you're out there making plays, causing all sorts of turnovers, and people are suddenly in your corner.
Yeah. Probably the same one saying, we want you out.
He's a bum.
Was that enough excitement for 1 week? When the Kerry Rhodes biography comes out, is this past week going to be one or two chapters?
It'll just be one great chapter. Be one. It'll be one.
What do you lead with? What sticks out the most over the past week? Because, you know, from everything, all the buildup and all the media and everything in New York and what awaited you, you know, and you having to manage your emotions, as you told us last week, and then the phenomenal game you had against the Jets. Can we get a round of applause? I mean, two picks, the forced fumble, he had three passes defense, and he had a half dozen tackles. Everything involved, I don't know, what stands out the most to you?
What stands out the most? What stands out the most is that we didn't get the win. Out of all those numbers you just said, I mean, it was, I guess it was a good performance on my behalf, but it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't justify everything that I wanted to get done because we didn't get the win. So it was tough.
You know, a lot of people, of course, at this point in time, Kerry, you've lost eight in a row now. A lot of people are wondering, what is the attitude? What is the mood in that locker room? And I know you don't want to speak for your teammates, maybe, how about you? What is your mood, and where are you at mentally right now?
Well, mentally, mentally, I'm beat up. I mean, I'm drained a little bit, but I know myself, being a professional and being someone that has other goals that I want to attain and other goals I want to attain through this team, it's just a way for me to keep going out every day to get better, keep fighting, to do everything I can to help the team win, and that's just the approach that I take.
Really comes down to that, doesn't it? It's basically controlling yourself, because that honestly is the only thing you can control out there. You can't worry about your teammate and what he's doing. You've got to focus on yourself, do you not?
No question. You got to do what you got to do to, like I said, get yourself better. And in that same sentence, as you're getting yourself better, you're getting those guys better as well. So for me, I just take that leader approach and try to just keep working and show those guys that I'm going to keep working and to follow me.
Before we bring on one of your teammates in the next segment for the rest of the show, another teammate of yours, Darnell Dockett, talked to the media yesterday and he apologized to you on the record in front of the cameras and the microphones. So you guys patched that up. Whatever that was, what he called a heated argument that Wolf has been in, what we've documented now about a dozen times
multiple
in his career. My goodness. So where does that stand right now?
Well, it is what it is. It was just something that happened in the heat of the moment for us when we had a disagreement on the field. And as two grown men, two adults, you have those a lot, especially a teammate. So we're past it, and it's really nothing to it.
Patrick Peterson next.
Sanchez takes the snap. Straight drop back. Steps up in the pocket and fires deep. Middle of the field. Got a man. Schillens. And it is intercepted. What a play by by Peterson. He's ruled down by contact at the 30, but an incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
That is all Patrick Peterson, and I will promise you, he baited Mark Sanchez to throw that ball.
Huh.
Did you see Patrick Peterson hit the Jets?
Wow, what a play.
Man, that is like a greyhound chasing the rabbit.
There you go, Dave Bash and Ron Wolfley on the call from New York. And yes, that is a little foreshadowing there. And the Calvisi scoring system on the sideline on the notebook, that got 5 stars. We go up to 5 stars. And when it comes to playmaking, I put that P twice, INT, a lot of initials there, and then I put 5 stars next to it just in terms of the quality of play. Folks, there were 3 interceptions for the Cardinals in that game, and they're all represented here on stage.
Oh boy!
At the Big Red Rage. Brought to you by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. That said, go ahead, continue with the intro if you'd be so kind, Kerry.
I don't think he needs an introduction. Patrick Peterson right here.
There you go.
Wow.
How are we doing?
Well done.
I appreciate it.
So the analysts, including Wolf and the TV guy, said, oh, he baited him. True or false?
True.
True.
Patrick, I didn't, you know what, maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe you should say, no, I didn't bait him, because you might want to bait the next quarterback down the road. What if suddenly he's listening to this very broadcast on a podcast?
We'll see.
What?
But okay. You did, right?
You
knew. Okay, Shillens is running the post, and you were running, but you weren't really running, were you?
Until I saw the ball until I located the ball. Like you said, I put on the Jets.
You did put on the Jets. It was one of the most incredible plays I have seen. Your ball skills are really incredible, because you caught that thing like a falcon on a fish, just picked it from the sky.
But what got lost on that play was I was trying to bait him too, and I couldn't get there though.
He tried to sneak it off the backside.
That was the crazy thing about it. I tried it too.
All right, so football 101, Kerry, baiting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Define that for fans.
Well, you just try to give him a look that he thinks that he has a guy open, and you really know where the ball is going. You got a chance to get it. So that's pretty much what he did, and I did too, but he's better at it.
I agree.
So all the while knowing, for the most part, you're going to be able to accelerate and get to that point to make the play? That's the objective?
Exactly. Like in that formation, we know those guys are either going to run a comeback or a big post, and if he didn't run the comeback, obviously he ran the big post, and I beat him. The ball normally lands between the hashes, and I tried to beat him to his punch, and that's what I did.
Patrick, did you think you cut it a little close, though? did you think you waited just a little too long to hit the Jets?
I thought it was a little bit late, but you know, I rely on my speed a lot, so.
Man, that was unbelievable. One of the best plays I have seen on the entire season so far.
It's like a street racer hitting the nitrous oxide. You just flip the switch, and then boom, there you go. I mean,
right.
So, Kerry, here's the thing, though. What I remember in your post-game media session was you said you baited at least one, if not both, of your picks, correct?
Yeah, I baited both of them, actually. Yeah.
And they asked you, does that date back to when you played with the Jets? And you said no. It was more towards the film study this past week?
Yeah, we had a lot of good tips on those guys. I mean, the first play of the game, we all looked at each other and gave the same signal. And we knew exactly what play was coming.
So you knew what play was coming.
No question.
Let me ask you, Kerry, because you were involved in 3 takeaways on the day, okay? Yeah. You had the 2 picks. Mm-hmm. And then you did a little blood farming, what I like to call being a blood farmer.
Yeah, he put his big boy pack.
That's where you take the buckles. That's where you take the buckles on your helmet and you stick it right on the guy's hands.
Yeah.
And man, back in the old days when those buckles were steel, they would cut those hands.
Hey, we work on that every Thursday.
There you go. Okay. Right. Thus the term blood farmer. You did some blood farming out there. Of the 3 turnovers you were involved in, what was your favorite?
That was the favorite one.
Right there.
Yeah, no question.
Man,
yeah.
See, you are turning into this warlike, bellicose, strong safety. Suddenly, Kerry, have you noticed that, Patrick? Just how much more physical Kerry has been this year?
Oh, yeah, he has definitely brought a huge physical presence to the defense, you know, making that huge play and definitely being involved in the back end as well, picking the ball off. It's huge for us, and hopefully we can continue having that success out of him.
When you guys read a play like that, Kerry, I mean, isn't there a small part of you saying, no, wait a minute, they're making this too easy. Maybe they're baiting me. Do you ever doubt yourself, or are you all in?
I'm all in. I mean, you've studied so much that week. You know that they're going to stick to their tendencies most of the time. Most offensive guys think they're gurus, so they think that their plays are
unstoppable.
They can't be touched. So for us, we're the dumb guys on defense, so we just go out there and play. That's what they think.
What did you think about the Jets overall and their approach and how they tried to attack you guys offensively? I'll start with you, Patrick.
Offensively, we kind of knew that they wanted to come in and run the ball a little bit and try to take shots over the top. And, you know, if we thought if we could have defended the run a little bit better, that we probably would have had a pretty good opportunity of shutting those guys out. But I believe, like Kerry said, all the tendencies pretty much stood up to their game plan, and we pretty much knew everything what he wanted to do.
You knew they were going to use a ton of play action, Kerry, right, in this game, right? Did you expect them to use it from the very first play? That was a little different.
I think it was good. I think it was a good idea for those guys because they knew we were going to come in. Well, we knew they were going to try to run the ball, so I think they tried to catch us off guard early. But we were on top of it. We saw the play, and we made a play on it.
The way the game was trending, were you surprised they made the change of quarterback, or were you expecting that?
I mean, I knew it was going to come eventually because the fans there are brutal, man, I told you. So the fact that he had a terrible start to the game, the pressure was on from the beginning. So they had to make a change.
I mean, Kerry, they were booing Sanchez in the pregame warm-ups. They were.
Yeah.
They were letting him hear it. They were letting him have it.
Yeah, it was funny. It was weird, man. Actually, when he got benched, I got the play call, and I went over to the sideline to talk to him and make sure that he kept his head up. So it was a good deal.
Interesting. I mean, some of the fans are even cheering that you got the picks because that was necessitating the quarterback change, if you will. Back with more of the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and Patrick Peterson.
Sanchez, back to pass. Pass time, everybody covered, throws over the middle, the pass is high, and intercepted by Rhodes at the 25-yard line, and he's tackled there. Firing middle of the field where it's picked off at the 25 by Rhodes. 35-40, back to the near side of midfield, and tackled at the 48-yard line in Jet territory. Two interceptions in the opening quarter for the former Jet, Kerry Rhodes. Dumps it off near side of the 35, ball fumbled into the arms of Washington. Kerry Rhodes came in and forced a fumble.
That is a blood farmer, Kerry Rhodes, taking the buckles and putting it right on the ball. Man, what a game Kerry Rhodes has had.
All right, guys, give it up. We know John Skelton does a mean Wolfley impersonation. Patrick Peterson, Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah.
P, how about you? Do you do a Wolfley? You know, in the car sometimes you're driving around, you bust into your Wolf impersonation like the Skelton brothers?
I never did.
Never did. Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay. Appreciate it.
You know, there's a stat out there. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, and it comes courtesy of the Cardinals Media Relations Department, and Cardinals VP Mark Dalton is here. So they're behind this. How about this one? Dating back to 2010, Kerry Rhodes is the only player in the NFL with at least 8 interceptions, 4 sacks, and 6 fumble recoveries in that span. How about that?
Whoa.
That's including the foot injury.
Man.
And the games you missed.
You missed a lot of games.
I mean, yeah, that's very well done. Right now, you're number 3 in the NFL with 4 picks. Patrick Peterson is number 2 in the NFL.
I'm coming for him, though. I'm coming for him,
so
Paul.
We got a little competition going on.
Yes,
here.
We do. We really do.
Let me ask you about the Jets game, and we heard the montage there, and what a game you had. Yeah. And tell us about before and after the game, maybe, and some of those Jets luminaries that you connected with.
The owner, Woody Johnson, came up to me, and we talked for a little bit. He was saying how proud he was of me to bounce back from all that stuff. And then after the game, I get a visit from Rex Ryan. And you like that one. Huh? And he said, I played a hell of a game. And I said, okay. And I just walked off. So it was pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That was you just sort of, okay. Were you a little unsure how to react? Did that catch you by surprise?
Yeah, it did. I saw him looking around kind of. And I was like, I hope he's not looking for me. So I was kind of avoiding. And he came up to me and found me, so it was all right.
You know what, Kerry, I really think that is obviously because of what transpired and some of the things that he may have said about you in the past. But that tells me a lot about Rex Ryan, maybe. And the fact that Rex Ryan may be changing a little bit. I don't know if you've heard this. I know you still probably talk to a lot of the guys that are in the locker room and play for the Jets. Do they say that Rex Ryan is changing the person? Rex Ryan is changing it all?
You know, I think sometimes you have to change. You have to adapt to certain situations. And right now he's in a situation where the team's not doing that great. So he can't be that boisterous person that he wants to be. So I don't know if he's changed or he's kind of
reformed just reformed a little bit.
That whole Hard Knocks thing, I don't think we've ever asked you. Were you part of that? That infamous, if you will, Hard Knocks, you know, training camp with the Jets, and we got, you know, a little window into Jets world and Rex Ryan's mouth, if you will.
Oh, did you?
Were you part of that? Were you part of that Hard Knocks?
No, I was here.
You were here.
That was
okay.
The first year I got
trying
here.
To remember the actual year. Okay,
yeah.
Because I wonder, you know, did that do him any favors? You think that was good or bad for his image? You know, and his personal brand.
His personal brand, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the way he wanted himself to be seen. So I really don't know. But that's him. That's just how he is, and that's how he attacks the game, and that's how he wants you to know him as.
Now, Kerry, I think I've asked you this before, but maybe your mind has changed on this. Paulie brings up Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
This question is for both you guys. Would you like that? Would you like Hard Knocks for the Arizona Cardinals? Would you like that in training camp to have cameras and microphones everywhere? How would you feel about that, Patrick?
Honestly, I wouldn't. I wouldn't like it.
Why?
I think it would be a huge distraction. You know, having all these cameras inside, seeing what we're doing. You know, I think it would be a huge distraction for us and something we wouldn't need in a locker room, especially going to where we wanted to go and be able to build a good championship team.
Kerry, what about you? What about you? Because to me, football, it doesn't get any more real than football.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any more real than training camp football, because you're out there and you're hitting so much, of course,
yeah.
And it's so physical and it's overt and it's in your face, and nobody feels good in training camp. And
yeah.
And I think some guys have a tendency to act
yeah.
a little bit when cameras are around and and microphones are around. And sometimes I think they act a little differently in that situation. So because of that, I don't like it. But what about you?
You know, I don't know either. I don't know if I wanted to be a part of it either, because on one hand, it is a good look, because, you know, the fans get to see the inside of it and get to see how we are in certain situations. So it can be a positive, but for the most part, I don't think it's a good deal, because, like you said, people act a certain way when the camera's on, and you also... It just gets you in a lot of trouble, I think.
Yeah. I think it could, definitely. Yeah.
What about playing in New York, Patrick? Would you look forward to playing in the Big Apple and the big stage of that market?
It means, like, playing for the New York?
Yeah, and so later in your career. Or if you would have been drafted by the Giants or Jets, would you have looked forward to playing in New York?
It's hectic out there, man. You can't move. So I probably wouldn't enjoy the New York lifestyle, so...
The pace,
I'd probably be upset.
The density. See, he wouldn't be good. He'd have to have the penthouse like you, though.
That's Patrick outside of Central Park.
Hey, Arizona Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Purchase yours today by calling 1-800-745-3000 or visit Ticketmaster.com. Yep, there's been a change in the Cardinals. We'll talk about that next on the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes and Patrick Peterson, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
There's a lot that goes into it, but John's going to start for us this week up in Seattle. And some of it has to do with Seattle playing up there. Haven't played against them once already this year. And, you know, there's a lot of factors, and I'm not going to go into each one of them.
I mean, it's humbling. It's part of the game. You always got to take the good with the bad. You can never let yourself get too high or too low. I don't let myself worry about it too much. I know that anything on the field, off the field, is all a learning process. You got to take it in stride.
I'll say this, John Skelton handled it about as well as you can, you know, both being benched for a couple of weeks there, then meeting the media on Monday, not knowing exactly which way the head coach was going to go, and then meeting the media yesterday, and all the questions and the microphones. I know it's not New York City, and there's not, you know, two dozen TV cameras at once, but, you know, the questions were coming fast and furious, and so that is the news. John Skelton will be the starter for the second time this season against the Seattle Seahawks, and welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, and... You know, Kerry, I mean, that Seattle environment, and Coach cited it right there. I mean, you know, it's just better for a veteran. You know, for a rookie making a second or third start, to do it in that building, in that environment, that is ultra tough. It comes with a high degree of difficulty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the toughest places to play in football. So, I mean, I know personally myself, I have I'm an oafer right now in that place. I haven't won there yet. So... This is a big deal for me to go in there and try to get a win, not just myself, but my teammates as well. So it's a tough task.
Patrick, you said after the game that the wild Pat It, by the way, are we going with Wild Pat? What are we going with on that when you're in the, when you're actually behind center? What exactly is that?
The Pat Cat.
Pat Cat, right?
Pat Cat.
Yeah, so you prefer? Okay.
Pat Cat, yeah, right. I like that better.
You said that was in the game plan in New York. So you look forward to that? If they're calling your number, putting you in there, you don't hesitate?
No question. I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait to touch the ball.
Okay, when you're in there and you get a chance to touch the ball, would you rather run with it or would you rather throw it? Can you throw the ball at all out of the Pat Cat?
No, I can't throw the ball.
You can at all?
Baiting again.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, he's baiting.
My goodness.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's okay. When he was sort of looking longingly at this situation, I think Kerry wants a shot at that.
He does.
He does.
He talks about it every day.
Every day.
Oh, okay.
So what have you guys seen when you look at Seattle on film? When you look at their offense on film, this is a team that seems to run the ball very, very well. They've got a young quarterback as well. What do you see from their personnel, Patrick, when you watch them on film?
Well, the personnel, they have pretty good personnel at the receiver position. The running back is, he's running like a workhorse right now. But we're going to pretty much have the same game plan from the New York Jets. You know, this is pretty much an identical team. They want to run the ball. Play action, try to hit you up top. So, as a defense, we just have to maintain our gaps and don't let those balls get over our heads, and we'll have a pretty good opportunity to win the ball game.
You know, you guys as a defense, there are some pretty stellar numbers out there right now. I mean, you know, 11 takeaways in the last three games. On the season, you guys have 27 takeaways, number four in the NFL. You're number two in interceptions, mainly because of you two guys with 18 as a team. Only Chicago has more with 20. And it's interesting, Kerry, because a year ago, the interceptions were lacking, right? And that's the one thing you guys went in the offseason and said. But then you also admitted, well, you can never forecast or predict how many takeaways you're going to get in a season. So what do you attribute it to?
Well, I mean, just from experience, I see that turnovers come in bunches. So when you start getting some and getting some positive energy on that front, they seem to fall in your hands a little bit more. But once you make a couple, I think they come in bunches.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel.
What about you? Feel the same way, Patrick? Oh, yeah. A common denominator? I mean, 11 takeaways in three games.
And it also comes to, you know, guys being on alert when the ball is in the air, when the ball is being tipped, guys running to the ball constantly. I mean, that just comes from training camp and just having the hunger of wanting to take the ball away from
both. You know what? I totally agree with that, too. You know, guys being aware that, you know what, we are a team that generates turnovers. Right. We are a team that can get the ball and take it away from the offense. And, you know, running to the ball, like you said, because you do get a lot of deflections in the NFL. It also tells me there's a lot of guys that are doing their job.
Yeah, correct.
A lot of guys that are doing their job in what they're supposed to be doing. They're expecting it. It tells me there's a lot of guys that are looking at film, watching film, to your point, Kerry, about film and Mark Sanchez, and you felt like you knew this play was coming, and it tells me there's a lot of film study there. It also tells me that there's a lot of talent up front, maybe getting pressure on the opposing quarterback. You guys are one of the best teams when it comes to pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah.
All of this comes into play on takeaways and creating turnovers, and yet it is vital to the success of a football team. You guys got to feel really proud about what you've accomplished, because that was a point of emphasis coming into the season.
Just about to say, yeah, we're proud because it was a point of emphasis coming into the season. I mean, Coach harped on it all offseason, all into training camp, and even at the beginning of the season. So for us to come out and get the job done after, you know, we were pretty much demanded to go out there and make some plays, make more plays. It's definitely a blessing and a plus for us. And I also got to give credit to the coaches. I mean, they always have us prepared and ready to go.
So. Yep.
What is Ray Horton harping on these days in December? You know, I know he likes to put some things in blue and some things in red, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, is there a certain message he's sort of, you know, instilling in you guys this point in the season?
Everything is green.
Everything is good. I mean, as bad as it is right now, we still have a lot to play for, and we're playing as a unit on the outside of the ball, as a unit, as a defense. You know, what we can control, we're playing well. So don't let that slip.
I tell you, you guys are making some quarterbacks look bad. And there's some numbers. I'll bust out some knowledge a little bit later. For example, Mark Sanchez, that was his worst quarterback rating of the season, second worst of his career. I mean, you go all the way back to game three, Michael Vick, second worst QB rating of the year. You know, there's a lot of confusion, seemingly, from a lot of these quarterbacks. We'll continue. It's the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
takes back the pass, throws right side, broken up, incomplete, intended for Edwards. William Gay on the coverage, and the Cardinals take over on downs.
Oh, never a doubt. Wow. Arizona Cardinals end up winning the ultimate nail biter here at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Of course, that has become more the norm than the exception. Games going down to the wire, maybe even going overtime at University of Phoenix Stadium. We are on board the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and a guy who knows about a walk-off in overtime or two, Mr. Patrick Peterson over there. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley here, all presented by Santan Ford. So what do you guys remember? That was week one, the victory 20-16 over Seattle. Yes, it went down to the final play virtually. What do you remember most from that game, Kerry?
From the Seattle game, week one.
And, you know, I mean, just everything. I mean, they had several shots into the end zone at the very end. And I know the Seahawks are still lamenting that if maybe, you know, a couple of receivers had held on to a couple of pass attempts from the rookie making his regular season debut, the, you know, outcome might have been different.
Yeah, we can say that about a lot of games, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah, we won it. But, yeah, it was a tough game, hard fought like it always is. And those guys came out and played their hearts out just like we did. We were able to get the win, and like you said, it was a close game down the stretch. We made more plays than they did, though, so that's kind of what it was.
How about you, Patrick? What do you remember about that game?
Well, I should have ended the game before those receivers dropped the passes anyway, because I dropped their interception, first of all. But I thought it was a pretty fun home opener to get a W in front of the home crowd and to get our season pretty going in the right direction. Unfortunately, we don't have it going right now, but I thought it was a pretty good game.
What do you think of Marshawn Lynch, guys? Because I watch Marshawn Lynch run the ball on film, and this guy runs like a much bigger human being. I mean, he is a tough tackle. What is your take on Marshawn Lynch?
He's a hard-nosed runner, man. I mean, he takes it down to the wire. He wants to go before the whistle, after the whistle. I mean, he's just a hard-nosed guy that runs the ball like he's angry.
And he's not that big, right? I mean, it's not like he's 250 pounds. It's not like he's Jerome Bettis or somebody like that. He's about 215, 220 pounds, somewhere in there, and he's like hitting his table, isn't he?
Exactly.
I think he may be the most – he may have the most determination as a runner that I've seen in the league in a long time, since I've been in the league. So that's probably the biggest thing I get from him.
What does that mean to you guys as a defense?
That's a game tackle.
Got the game tackle. No
have the game tackle.
Yeah, you got to help your brother out.
No question.
Period. That's it.
No question. Yeah.
I've heard a few guys say it's like tackling a tornado. He's just this ball of fury, you know, and he just wants to go right
like
through.
A Tasmania.
He doesn't run regular. Like, his legs always moving. He's running sideways. He's just herky-jerky. I mean, it's nothing natural about his running form. He just runs.
It's just his ability to keep his legs moving and to run through tackles. So much of the time, you'll see running backs, when they get hit, their legs stop. Marshawn Lynch, he just keeps grinding. Oh, yeah. It's an amazing thing to watch on film.
Yep.
What you guys dialed up against Russell Wilson in his regular season debut as a rookie in week one, can you get away with that here in December? Meaning, how much more advanced do you think he is now with all these games under his belt?
I think he's definitely more improved as a quarterback at this point in time in the season. But, you know, we grew as a defense. You know, we just saw just a little taste of what we have cooked up.
Do you feel like you have to really concentrate on the edge?
Anytime
you go against Russell Wilson with a lot of the boots and the waggles that they run, how much focus have you guys really paid this week to the edge and keeping contained?
Well, you definitely have to keep him in inside the pocket, because he makes so many big plays outside of the pocket with his feet and standing the time and things like that. So as a defense and as a secondary, we have to make sure we stay plastered to our receivers and making sure those long distance plays don't slip away from us.
Yeah, a lot of these big plays come, like you said, via the scramble. So for us,
once he started moving, we got to make sure we keep our depth and not let him throw it over our heads. Yeah, right. No question.
So, Kerry, I know you like to hear this. As a former quarterback yourself,
Yes, yes.
These young guys who are excelling and have their teams in playoff contention, the Andrew Lux, the RG3s, the Russell Wilsons, are you surprised? Because that historically has not been the norm, where a rookie quarterback will come into the league and have this much success this early.
Yeah, it's changing. I mean, those guys are coming into the league very confident and believing in themselves. I mean, Luck has had a really good year, but I'm really impressed by RG3. I mean, what he's done out there, and to be, I think he may be like in the top three as far as rated quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over. He makes smart decisions, and I mean, he's played awesome. And Russell Wilson, like I said, he's grown as the season has progressed, and he's playing well as well.
I just wonder how sustainable the Washington Redskins offense truly is.
Because
when I look at, well, just because of all the hits that RG3 is taking right now. And I'm not talking about pitching the ball and running down the sideline. You throw him the ball and he gets waylaid by a safety. I'm talking about a nondescript play in the third quarter where he runs the option. He goes ahead and he rides the one running back and then runs the option. And I could see Antrell roll for the New York Giants. He didn't even pay any attention to the pitch guy. Went right for the legs of RG3. RG3 is taking a ton of shots. I don't think that offense is sustainable in the NFL. I give them 3 years if they keep running that offense.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, with each passing touchdown this season, a reminder, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local schools for the Passing Touchdowns for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We move on. The Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, presented by Santan Ford.
They love the 80s here in Seattle. First, Kenny Loggins singing the national anthem and out dancing to Michael Jackson.
Well, you hope that nobody in your huddle down there defensively is looking at the girls out there dancing, David. Seahawk cheerleaders. And Seagulls, is that what they're called
Seagulls,
right there?
Yeah.
Last thing you want to be thinking of right now is anything soft and beautiful. Hard and ugly, good. Soft and beautiful, bad.
Oh, yes. That was harking back a few years in Seattle. A singular scene up in the Northwest when the Cardinals make their annual visit against the Seahawks. Do you think teams at times, guys, Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson here on the Big Red Rage, will position the cheerleaders even closer to the bench? You know, just trying to distract you guys, playing the mind game sort of thing.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah, let me give a shout-out to the corner over there. It's yep. A young fan over there, 15th birthday, so I want to give her a shout-out
nice.
Over there.
Right on, Kerry.
Well done.
Class act.
Happy
well
birthday.
Done.
But as far as the cheerleader thing go, yeah they definitely put them in our vicinity to distract us a little bit. I know a situation where we played Washington back in a couple of years ago, and they put those girls right in our locker, like right beside our locker room coming out, and man, they look pretty good too, so it's definitely a distraction.
I see. Focus.
Yeah.
Mental focus, gentlemen.
No question. No question.
You know, Patrick, what about you? I mean, are you one of these guys who get distracted out there from time to time with the cheerleaders? Is that now you're going to...
My defensive back is always in our ear, so I pretty much don't have any time to be distracted.
You know, it was funny. They actually used to take the Raiderettes back when they were playing in the L.A. Coliseum, right? Mm-hmm. They take the Raiderettes and they would... line them, and there's about 40 of them.
Yeah.
And they line them all the way down the tunnel.
The tunnels. That's
so
how it
exactly.
is.
Yeah. Do they still do that now?
No, they don't anymore.
Okay, yeah.
They don't.
But this is back in the Coliseum. They'd line them out there. Yeah. And, Paul, you would come out, and they'd catcall you all the way down. And I'd be like, don't listen to them. Don't listen. Get your mind right. It was, believe me.
Yeah.
They used the Raiderettes as a weapon.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Someday a coach gets up there after a loss to the Raiders. They're playing on Thursday night right now. Maybe John Fox gets up, you know, after the loss to the Raiders by the Broncos there at Raider Nation. Well, really the key to the game were the Raiderettes. You know, I'm waiting for a head coach maybe to say that. No, probably not.
Nope, you won't hear that one.
How about this name right here, Kerry?
Yeah.
And you have a competitive advantage because you came into the league with this gentleman, a former teammate of yours with the Jets, correct?
Yep.
Okay, you want to take a stab at his name? Go ahead here, because it's a very unique spelling.
Sione Buha.
Okay.
What?
Not bad. Not bad.
Buha.
Buha.
Yeah. Wolf's a little incredulous over there because, well, he struggled with it.
That's
Joe Namath style. And just like you guys will prep, you know, last minute before a game, you know, same with Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley. This is off air moments before kickoff, and they're trying to get it right on the Cardinals radio network.
It's Buha?
Buha. Buha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
It's a P?
B.
It's spelled with a P.
I know, but it's boo-hoo-ha. Boo-hoo-ha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
Boo-hoo-ha.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Yeah, Wolf, don't doubt your play-by-play guy, Dave Pasch, okay? Right. Don't ever doubt him on that one.
But once again, it was spelled with a P.
You know what?
That guy's name's got to be butchered more than any other name in the National Football League.
I'm sure.
That's why you bring in an ESPN guy like Dave Pasch to sort of handle things up there. Well, that's when you defer to the other guy.
I know the sideline guy had no clue how to pronounce it.
No, I wanted no part of that. None whatsoever. So, you know. Tell us about the noise factor. Tell us about, you know, the challenge for Bobby Massey and Nate Potter. I mean, it's a real challenge. It could be a real factor in the game. I remember historically, I always harken back to, it was a Giants game up there. New York Giants came in. Their O-line had 11 false starts in a single game.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
It's one of the loudest stadiums in the, like I said, in football. It's hard and it's tough. So those guys have to use a silent count a lot probably and just be ready to go.
How do you guys feel overall about defenses in the NFC West? Stop and think about it. I mean, you guys obviously are a huge story this year in the NFL, and Ray Horton and what he's been able to accomplish with you guys. You're up there in almost every metric that matters defensively. What do you think of the rest of the defenses in the NFC West, and do you consider yourself to be in competition with those defenses?
I won't say any competition. You know, we just want to continue doing our job to our best of our ability. You know, that's continue to turn it over the ball, continue getting those key three and outs, you know, keeping teams out of the end zone. I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And the numbers and all that stuff will tally up, and it's going to lay where we lay.
You know, you look at some of you guys are two of the biggest playmakers in the division, right? You think of Patrick Willis, right? Perennial Pro Bowler. Look at the season Darrell Washington's having. How about Aldon Smith, 17.5 sacks for the Niners right now? And then you look at all the guys on the Seahawks defense, right? I mean, the two ends and Clemens, right? And those guys have been in Pro Bowls and their safeties. I mean, if you had to vote for a defensive player of the year in the NFC West, who are you voting for?
They said us, so we'll say ourselves.
Some of the fans are campaigning for votes. Look, you got a birthday shout out. Let's just let's not go overboard. I don't know. Is there one guy that you like to watch in the division play defense? I mean, is there one guy you have ultra respect for?
I don't have respect for none of those guys. As far as that, I mean, I don't sit there and look at those guys. But I mean, Patrick Willis is always a beast. The Aldon Smith, you can't go wrong with 17.5 sacks. Yeah, that's chasing history, so that's pretty alarming.
When do you guys start voting on the Pro Bowl?
I have no idea.
I mean, is that coming up for you guys in a couple of weeks?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know the exact dates. I don't know either.
Does it matter to you guys to be voted to the Pro Bowl?
It matters just from the standpoint of you get recognition from the fans and the coaches and the other players. That's a big deal.
How about you, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, I believe it's a huge accomplishment. You know, I mean, the Pro Bowl has been going on for years, and to make it at your position, that's definitely a big-time milestone that you're accomplishing.
Boy, one of the things they got to do, though, is they got to do away with the game, right? I mean, just do away with the game and just turn it into, like, some Academy Award ceremony, you know, some Oscars-type night.
I thought that was a joke.
Really?
When I first saw that, I was like, whoa.
What do you mean, the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I was like, wow.
All right, we'll continue here. The Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, special guest Patrick Peterson, presented by Santan Ford.
Larry Fitzgerald, like a falcon on a finch, stabbed it out of the sky.
Looking forward to seeing your buddy in the tunnel, that one fan that kind of harasses everyone coming out.
Oh, he's a good dude, man. You know, he's a good dude. He takes a lot of pride in those seats and, you know, heckling opponents.
What kind of stuff does he give you?
You know, he called me a prima donna. He says, Goldilocks. That's his one. He calls me Goldilocks. I need to cut my hair. It's too long. Can't see my name on the back of my jersey. You know, stuff like that. But I don't acknowledge him. If I hear him, I don't really acknowledge him. Because if you do that, you know, it just gives him some more fuel to the fire.
You guys familiar with that fan? He's right at the corner there.
Yeah.
Right? You know, sort of the exit way where you go in and out of the locker room, and he's right there hanging over the wall about 8 feet up, and he's always yelling straight down at the opposing team.
Yeah, I'm aware of the fan because a couple years ago when I was with the Jets, he threw a snowball and hit the wrong guy. He hit Sean Ellis, and he's the meanest guy ever. So Sean Ellis rolls up a big snowball, and throws it in the stand and hits him. So I remember that guy.
he returned fire, Sean Ellis.
Shots fired, no question.
Oh, man.
It was always hard to do. Patrick, do you have a hard time ignoring the crowd?
Oh, no, nah, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
You know, you're wearing your LSU gear. There must have been some pretty hostile trips in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tell us about some of the venues maybe that you went to. I mean, what was the atmosphere? It was just off the hook when LSU would go on the road.
I probably have to say Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, that's when when Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow was on their run. So it was rocking.
And were they nasty? Were they personal? The fans?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if somebody calls you out, though, Patrick, I mean, you don't acknowledge them at all?
Nah, because it's no use. You know, there's no point that's going to get across. So,
man, I feel so inadequate.
Nope.
I'm
right with you, Will. I'll look back and laugh or smile.
Oh, you will. You'll acknowledge that.
Just a little bit. I won't
see, that
say
was
anything,
my problem. I always acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I gave them too much credence, as a matter of fact. And all they did is pour it on more, which made me climb the fence and want to go over it.
Right? What kind of stuff did you hear in New York? I mean, from pregame to postgame, you were the last guy off the field. The fans are pretty vocal with you, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all positive stuff, though. So
It
wasn't any bad stuff. So, yeah, I got lucky. I got lucky that day.
It was. I mean, honestly, I mean, from the get-go, right after your first interception, they just unloaded behind, Kerry, we miss you. We want you back. And, I mean, it was amazing, the reception that you got there. There's no doubt about it. So when you guys go into Seattle and you're looking at this offense and you're saying, all right, and here we are as a defense, and, you know, what do you think's going to be most important? I think the stat was that you guys had blitzed Russell Wilson more than 50% of the snaps
the
in week one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So that was sort of the MO then. Mm-hmm. I mean, how necessary is it going to be to change the game plan the second time around against Russell Wilson?
I don't know. I think we're going to do what we do. I think we've gotten to the point now where we're confident in everything we do, and we believe in everything that Ray says and does. So for us, I mean, we're an attacking defense, and we're not going to change just because of who we play or anybody. So whoever steps out on the field is going to get the rap of the Horton blitz system.
So, Patrick, you've played 12 games so far this year, and of course, coming in, everyone was expecting you to break the punt return record returns for touchdown. Now, where are you mentally on this when it comes to punt returns? Are you disappointed? Are you discouraged? Why do you think you haven't been able to bust one out this year?
Not disappointed or discouraged. You know, I got drafted to play cornerback. You know, that playing punt return is just a plus.
That's huge.
You know, so I'm definitely back there doing my best, but you got to understand, punt teams are now, they're game planning for me and kicking the ball away from me and putting me in close to the sideline so I don't have opportunity to come back to the field and make a big-time play for this Arizona Cardinals team. But
you've been getting closer, though.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of times. You've been close, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. It's coming. Hopefully before the season, and I give the fans what they've been waiting on.
We just we just keep seeing those punts sail out of bounds, one after another. I mean, you know, they're not taking any chances, a lot of these punt teams. Hey, St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle coming spring of 2013. For more info, visit healthwealthraffle.org. We'll be back right after this to wrap it up on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande and Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Down the stretch we come with the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Patrick Peterson. So how does this defense get better? I mean, you guys are trending towards top five in a lot of categories right now. You're, you know, seventh overall and, in overall defense. But I don't know, Kerry, has to get better in the final four games, you think?
Well, I think we get better by showing our maturity and finishing these four games the right way. I think we fought so hard to get to where we are now, to let it slip as these four games progress. And, you know, it's the downhill part of the season, and it's tough now. But for us to let it slip now would be a travesty.
What do you guys think are going to be some of the keys to actually shutting down, dare I say, stuffing Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson, and the Seattle Seahawks? What are you going to have to do well?
I'll probably say everybody maintaining their gap responsibility and game tackling. You know, I believe if we do that well, we'll have a pretty good opportunity to win the game.
How much, you know, I watched the Monday Night Football game against, you know, RG3, and all these D linemen are just gassed and they're chasing around. I mean, how tough is it going against an athletic guy like like Russell Wilson. I mean, you expect, hey, you're going to have to change out a lot of guys, get a lot of personnel in there to stay fresh. I mean, you think that'll be a factor in the game, or does he not run nearly as much as a RG3 perhaps?
He definitely doesn't run nearly as much as RG3, and their offense is not built around Russell Wilson, so he has opportunity to stay in pocket, but he does move well in and out of the pocket and extending those plays for big plays.
Kerry, who do you think their best receiver is?
Their best receiver? Oh, man. I would right now, I'll probably say Golden Tate. I think he's the guy that they look to make plays. I mean, Sidney's the big play guy, but Golden Tate's, I think, their most reliable one.
And when Pete Carroll's running up and down the sideline and cheerleading, right, like a high school coach, what do you guys think about that? Or you're not touching that one because that's the third rail and that's just me sort of inciting things.
No, that's okay. I think when your coach is like that, playing for that guy, I mean, it gets you excited and then you like to play for him. So I think from their perspective, they probably like that.
I don't know how you can't take it as a positive. I mean, he's 61.
Yeah. I see.
61.
You admire it. Okay. Hey, folks, how about a special thanks? Patrick Peterson, Kerry Rhodes, the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Rhodes to the five. Touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.